Welcome to the How to Write a Book podcast, the show that helps you plan, write, and publish your book, even if you're a beginner or just feel like one. Now, for your host, she's written over a dozen books and helps others bring their books to life. Here she is, Maciel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to the How to Write a Book podcast. I hope you guys are doing excellently. I am having a wonderful day, and I hope that you are too. And I just want to let you know, hey, if you're new to this podcast, welcome in. We are so happy to have you, and we want to say, dude, way to go. You're like, I'm a writer and I want to know more about writing. And I'm like, yes, you are a writer. That is fantastic. So way to go. Awesome. You rock. All right. And hey, just a reminder, I'm your host, Maciel, of the How to Write a Book podcast. And, you know, as we're kind of diving back into the world of the pandemic once again, you know, I want to remind you guys that you don't have to go through this writing journey alone. You know, you are a writer. You have that book inside you. You keep telling yourself, like, yes, I do want to write more. I would love to get my book started. Y'all, I offer coaching sessions. Now, I offer programs of coaching sessions, but I also offer just like, you're like, hey, I just kind of want to talk to you so that we can dive in and we can finally get this book off the ground. Yes, dude, you can book a coaching session with me. $50 for that coaching session. And like, you guys, then from there, you will have an action plan. You will have the motivation. You will know what to do to get started. So if you have these like questions of like, I don't even know where to begin. I don't know how to start. I don't know how to outline. I've got your back. So go to my website, www.themaciel.com. That's www.themaciel.com, and you will find the coaching button on there to sign up with me, and we can get your book going. And I'd be happy to do, I'd be honored, because it would be so cool to know where you're going and what you want to do with that and how you want to move forward. All right, very cool. So let's get with the program here, everybody. In today's episode, we're talking about cosmic horror. Yes, how do you write cosmic horror? Okay, ooh. It's such a good question. Now, I think this is such an important question, because when it comes to the genre of horror, a lot of us can have the misconception that it's like, oh, it's all about, you know, blood and guts and things like that. And that's not necessarily the case, y'all. No way. You know, horror is such a cool genre because it really can dive into the mind, physical space. I mean, it can go beyond, and that's why I really like to read it, and especially because it can be really cathartic. You know, when you kind of write about the horrors and the you know, trouble that's in your life, and even if it's fiction, it can really be therapeutic for you. All right, so before we dive in, let's start with our motivation and a prompt for you guys today. Now, no coincidence, we have a motivational quote from R.L. Stein. So I love that. I was like, yes, I used to read his books. It was so awesome. I mean, it still is awesome. It's amazing, but I digress. Okay, so people say, what advice do you have for people who want to be writers? I say, they don't really need advice. They know they want to be writers and they're going to do it. Those people who know that they really want to do this and are cut out for it, they know it. R.L. Stein.
Oh, love it. It gives me chills, actually. I was like, oh man, he's so right. Like deep down, you know.
All right, cool. So the prompt for you today is brought to you by blog.reezy.com, and it says, write a story about someone who's haunted by their past. Ooh, I love that. Yes. I mean, and it makes so much sense too, because this is totally related to what we're doing. Awesome. All right, everyone. So let's just dive in. Cosmic horror. What is it? It is a subgenre of horror fiction that really emphasizes the unknown or the unknowable. It's the cosmic horror of, elements outside of us, outside of our humanity. It makes us question our humanity, existential dread, the fragility of our own humanity. It's essentially like we're facing a monster that's pretty much incomprehensible. And cosmic horror is also known as Lovecraftian horror. So if you're familiar with H.P. Lovecraft, his type of writing is the cosmic horror type of writing. So if you're like, hey, I want to know more about this, then definitely they have like those thick books at Barnes & Noble, the collection of like H.P. Lovecraft. So, you know, try to grab yourself one, you know, or have it delivered so you can dive in and really kind of get this sense of dread. And what's really cool about it, it's like when you're facing a monster, and this is how this type of writing goes, you are facing something that almost can't be described, which is so cool as a writer, because we're writers and we want to describe and go in depth and, you know, paint the picture. But with cosmic horror, it is about having some sort of entity that is beyond us. We're almost like, I don't even know what this is. Like, what is this being in front of me? What is this monster in front of me? You know, why is it, you know, here on this earth, for example? And we're going to go into some details or and some examples of what portrays a really good cosmic horror. But that kind of gives you the basics of what it is. So again, it's kind of facing the unknown and the unknowable. Also, Edgar Allan Poe has a couple of stories as well that could be classified as cosmic horror. So jump on in. And I love Edgar Allan Poe anyway. So jump on in and tackle that. It's amazing. Now, one of the questions that pops up is, because you have these big names of like Edgar Allan Poe and Lovecraft, you know, can I write good cosmic horror? And remember that it doesn't have to be, you know, quote unquote good. It has to be entertaining. And if you read Lovecraft, you know, he has this way of crafting the characters and the monsters, the antagonists of the work, without actually describing what they are. Like, you know, he'll describe eyes and, you know, bulging slime mass. It's the unnameable, you know, and it's like, it's too, you can't have this mass there. You know, I don't have the text in front of me, but he doesn't actually say like, oh, you know, it has four arms and three legs, et cetera, et cetera, you know? So, it's taking that step back and trying to describe something that's not describable. So keep that in mind as you're writing it. And remember, it has to be just be entertaining. You know, don't pressure yourself with a thought of it needing to be good. Okay, so let's jump into some good film examples, because, you know, and right now in this day and age, sometimes it's hard for us to pick up that beloved book, but you might have caught some of these films that would really describe, you know, how cosmic horror can be done really well. So, for example, recently we had Bird Box with Sandra Bullock. That was a really good example of cosmic horror. And why is that? Because we never actually see what this thing is. And hey, spoiler, I'm so sorry about that. Spoiler alert. I'm just going to say right now. So if you haven't seen it, you need to stop this episode and go watch it and then come back. All right, cool. Now we're diving in. So we never actually see what this thing is. And, you know, at the end of the film, there's not the question of whether or not, you know, she's going to defeat this thing or not. You know, she made it to Sanctuary. So now it's that strange and lethal animal out there is still out there, you know, but we still don't know exactly what it looks like. It's it rustles the leaves. You know, when they tape the car, there's this shadow on the car, you know, you can hear it. You can hear the wind coming. You know, that people's eyes change color when they see it and then they kill themselves. So that's a really great way on how we're really approaching cosmic horror, because there's an entity out there that is killing people. That's scary, but we don't exactly know what it looks like, right? You know, it's an unknown. And not just that, but it ties back into this whole like fragility of humanity. It makes us question, you know, what am I capable of as a human being? What are my limitations as a human being? And that's really important. And it needs to be tied into the cosmic horror piece, you know, because with the scary aspects, you know, the actual chasing down, is it going to get me feel? We also need to come to this question, a bigger question of, you know, what is human race? You know, are we not dominant? Are we limited in certain ways? So keep that in mind, that bigger question, as your character is facing off with the deadly, you know, monster or entity, and the bigger question is still out there. You know, what is humanity? How fragile are we? Another really good example is A Quiet Place. So another spoiler, okay? Just spoiler alerts, all right? So with A Quiet Place, we also have monsters that are a little bit incomprehensible. We do get snapshots of them. You know, we're like, there's something right there. It's obviously tall. It's got some sort of weaponized, you know, limbs, hands. And we do see it towards the end, which is cool. It has a really good concept. But throughout that film, we're kind of like, you know, what is it exactly? Is it, you know, actually part of the air? Can we not see it? Because, you know, in that first scene when, you know, one of the children is taken, you know, you don't see the monster. It's so quick. So there's that still that element of the unknown, you know, and it's what's really cool is the fact that we don't see it. Now, sometimes we might think, well, I need to describe how scary it is, but, you know, resist that urge. Pull back, because when we are, you know, especially in horror, when we are diving into something that needs to be detailed and, you know, especially scary, sometimes the best thing is not to have detail. And I know it sounds a little bit like counterintuitive, but the feeling and the senses that you use instead can be utilized as tools themselves. You know, for example, you know, if you're going to write about a scary monster, something that, you know, feeds on people at night, you might not actually talk about, you know, how scary it is, how tall it is, what it looks like, what its teeth are. What you might describe instead is the crunching of its teeth from the room next door, the way that its claws scrape against the wooden floor, you know, this kind of strange clicking sound as its jaws are getting ready to eat the next person. You know, so all of that can contribute to having a scarier, more in-depth feel without going over the top on details, especially because each human being has their own limitation of what scary is. So if you leave it to the unknown, they fill in the blanks with what their fear is. So like, for example, if you are afraid of kittens, but I'm not afraid of kittens, you know, and then you start describing this monster as a kitten, I'm going to be like, well, it's not really that scary. But if you kind of allude to it, maybe it has like some fur, maybe it has these like big eyes, you know, with these slit pupils. And, you know, you're terrified of kittens. Like, all of a sudden, you're like on a whole other level and you're like freaking out. And maybe I'm even like, what is this thing? It sounds like a cat, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's something bigger or more scary, or maybe it's pretending to be cute and it's actually going to kill me, you know? So, or keep that in mind when you're trying to write. It's like you want to pull back the layers, but give the feel, because readers are very intelligent and they can pick up your cues. You know, even if you feel like you have to write an essay about the color of its hair, for example, you know, don't, because the readers know what to do with their imagination, right? So keep that in mind. Really good film examples. And of course, let's go on what not to do. A bad film example. Of course, okay, let's go to It. By Stephen King. No, okay, guys, don't get me wrong. I love Stephen King. I really do. I mean, I'm just like, oh, yes. And when I heard the remake was coming out, I was like, yes, 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 yes. I want it now. Instant gratification. But, okay, again, spoiler. But we can agree that the ending is a little like, I can't even badmouth it because I love Stephen King so much. I'm just, let's just say like, okay, we could have done without it. That'd been fine. But you know, it's true to, you know, the book more or less, right? We all know that in the end, you know, some details missing here and there, et cetera, and some scenes pulled out, but, you know, it's essentially that arachnid type of space alien monster. So what does that do for us as viewers? And let's just take in this latest movie. So again, y'all, I hope that you entered this realm of spoilers. So I'm with you. I'm giving you guys like hugs and high fives for sticking with me here. So when we finally face this monster in the movie, we know exactly what it looks like. It has those, you know, strange tentacle things, the arms, etc. And we lose the connection, right? Like if you're watching it and you're like, oh, like I don't know how many times I've heard people say like, oh, it's just some sort of spider thing, you know, right? because we now have lost that idea, the imagination, where we were filling in the blanks. Now those blanks have been filled and it's just not fun anymore. It's like, well, I'm not scared of that, or that's unrealistic, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so that's an example of why you don't want to fill in those gaps. You know, leave that to the imagination of the reader, because once you give them that picture, you know, there's kind of no going back. So less is more in this case. Alrighty, so now let's dive into the tips. Okay, so tip number one is not to describe the entity, right? So we were talking about that, you know, have it in your mind. It could totally be like really fleshed out in your head, but try not to actually go into the depths of writing the, you know, detailed limbs, hair, etc. It's totally cool if you have that picture, but for your reader, keep it a mystery and describe the scary parts, but describe them in a way that's challenging so that you're leaving them hanging. You're like, kind of like a tease. You're like, okay, come on. I'm going to give you a little bit of a picture, but you're going to fill in the rest. Also, it's a tangible monster. So like, it's something that we are going to face physically, but there's a bigger, bigger question in the air. You know, again, going back to, you know, how far are we in our humanity? Where's the end of the line for humanity? You know, those bigger questions are lingering on the outside. Tip number three, use the senses. So that previous one was tip number two. Now, tip number three, use the senses. So if you feel like you want to talk about, you know, how the monster looks like, etc., instead, you write out that first draft of what you think it looks like, but then start taking out the actual details and use your senses instead. So rely on what the thing smells like, what it sounds like, what it feels like if a character actually gets a chance to feel the thing. Maybe it's sleeping or something, you know? So use your senses instead of painting pictures, right? Because that is going to really heighten the sense for the reader. And that's really important. Now, remember that when we paint the picture, we can't really relate to it. So keep that in mind. Last tip is to consider the main character wisely. Okay. So we have a great advantage as authors to choose what point of view you're going to have and who is going to be your protagonist. And what I mean by that is, like, you can have multiple points of view, totally cool. You can have switching points of view, totally cool. But when you're getting into the scary, the nitty gritty, maybe like vital points of story conflict or information, try to use your characters as tools, you know, because it can look different. This terrifying, you know, 100-foot monster, for example, it can look different to a seasoned Marine versus a 4-year-old child, right? So when you actually dive into your work and after you write your first draft or during your first draft, if you feel like, you know, this is going to be really terrifying from this specific person's point of view, then use it. Yeah, run with it. Love that. So keep that in mind. All right. And here's another thing that I noticed when looking at, you know, cosmic horror. It's this question of why. So if you are watching, for example, Bird Box or A Quiet Place, or you're reading something from Lovecraft and you're like, why is this happening? Why is he there? Why is this thing going after him? You know, this question of why is this, what is going on, right? That's a really good clue I have found in kind of deciphering cosmic horror, because in like slasher films, like for example, we know that the, you know, bad guy's there because he likes to kill people. So that's kind of like, okay, check. I know that, you know, or for similar horror films, you know, it's the blood moon, or, they opened that box that unleashed the bad genie, you know, so that's why it's happening. So, you know, those don't fall into the same category. They are different. So if you're kind of asking yourself, you know, why is this happening to this character? Why is this entity here on Earth? Or why is this going on now? I feel like that question of, you know, why is a good indicator that you are in the cosmic horror realm. Okay, so I hope that that helps. And remember that some of these tips also can work in other genres, you know, not describing the entity, using the senses, also, you know, considering who your main character is. All of those always help in other genres as well, you know, especially for the scary stuff. You know, using the senses is always really helpful. It drives up the adrenaline. So y'all keep that in mind. And, you know, we are so excited for your writing. Let me know if you're writing on some sort of, you know, cosmic horror story. That's pretty cool. Another thing that I found out recently is that you can enter small writing contests on, I think, the readzy.com website. I'm not affiliated with them in any way, but I came across the resource and I thought, you know, hey, if you guys want some more motivation, they hold, I guess, sporadic writing contests. So if you want to check that out, I thought that was a pretty cool resource for you guys. All right, cool. So, hey, everyone, you know, as I say, I'm looking forward to hearing what you write and think and seeing what you put out there. Remember that your words are important. And even if it's scary or it's romantic, it's still your work and it deserves to be out in the world. All right, guys, I'll see you on the other side. Bye. Hey there, writer. Thank you for listening to the How to Write a Book podcast with your host, Maciel Valenzuela. If you like the show, we'd be happy if you left a review. For more information on writing and the writer's life, go to www.themaciel.com. That's www.themaciel.com. We'll see you on the other side.